I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning, and I'm very thankful for everyone that has assembled. Continue our study from Psalm 69, the prophecies concerning Christ. I have to tell you, this is one of the hardest prophecies that I've ever tried to put together as far as understanding exactly what the Bible is telling us. This morning, though, Psalm 69, we have in consideration verses 22 and 23, and the prophecy that the Apostle Paul, in using this prophecy of David in Romans 11, verse 9 and 10. We have learned that Psalm 69 is recognized by the inspired writers of the New Testament as a messianic psalm. In Psalm 69, verse 22 and verse 23, David prays fervently for God to deliver him from his enemies and to provide the punishment his enemies deserve. There, David said, "Let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and make their loins shake continually." The Apostle Paul applies verses 22 and 23 of Psalm 69 to the Jews of his day, who have rejected Jesus and those who have rejected the gospel, emphasizing the hardening of the Jews because of their persistent unbelief. There in Romans 11, verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, "And David says that their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always." In Acts 13 and verse 46, the Apostle Paul says, "Such people judge themselves unworthy of eternal life." Robertson L. White said in his commentary on Romans, he says, "In clinging to the law and rejecting Christ, the Jews were wearing a yoke which they were unable to bear." Comes from Acts 15 and verse 10. He said, "Their course brought themselves to destruction of their nation and hard servitude." Before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. To understand the prophecy of Psalm 69 in verses 22 and 23, and to take in consideration to whom it applies in Romans 11, verse 9 and verse 10, we're going to begin with verse 1 of Romans 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through verse 10. If you have your Bible, you may open there, Romans 11, verse 1. If not, listen closely. "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, and the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, 'Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life.' But what does the divine response say to him? 'I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.' Even so then, as this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, 'God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. To them this very day. And David says, this is verse 9, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their backs always. You know, after reading that, I'd like to be able to say it, as Brother Dwayne said this morning, it's pretty well self-explanatory. But it's not unless you really begin to look in what is actually happening and what the Apostle Paul is actually talking about. Israel was disobedient to God as a nation. God cast them off, but at the same time, He has retained many individuals because of their obedience to Christ. The Jews are plainly told that their unbelief is the cause of their rejection. The question in verse 1, has God cast away His people? That is, has He rejected them all? And the reply is, He has not. He has rejected only the unbelieving. But this represented the nation. The believing Jews He has not rejected. And this represented or involved the individuals. So as a nation, God has rejected Israel. Yet, God's rejection to Israel as a nation is in no sense affected with their individuals. One of the proofs that God has not cast away the Jewish people is the Apostle Paul himself. He was an Israelite. He was a descendant of Abraham. And he was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Jew, and he was chosen by God to be a believer and to also be an apostle. In verse 2, his people is a reference to the nation of Israel and not just the elect within the nation. Paul shows the difference between the nation of Israel and the remnant. But his point there is that God's saving of the remnant proves that He has not abandoned His plan for the nation. In verses 3 through verse 5, Romans chapter 11, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So the Apostle Paul here uses Elijah as an example. Elijah thought that the whole nation of Israel had fallen away. And God told Elijah he was wrong about how many faithful Israelites that remained. In reply to Elijah, God did not say, you really need to get this. God did not say, as the Calvinists suggest, that God had unconditionally elected and predestinated these 7,000 in an eternal decree before the dawn of time. The Bible clearly indicates that the acceptance of the 7,000 was conditioned on their not having bowed the knee to Baal. God is telling Elijah that he's not only one who has been faithful in his omniscience and omnipresence. God has identified 7,000 true worshipers. He had separated this group from the rest. They were the ones that were God's people in a spiritual sense. The remnant in that day constituted the true Israel and the rest along the Baal. Verse number 6. Romans 9 and verse 6. There it says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. God didn't reject Israel. Most of Israel rejected God. But God still counted those who sought him as in faith as his own. The remnant in Elijah's day was proof that God had not cast his people away. The remnant in Paul's day, those Jews who have obeyed the gospel, who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, do not stand rejected. Any Jew who so desires may cross over from unbelief to faith, from rejection to acceptance, from the castaway to the faithful remnant. All that is required is faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Romans 11, verse 6. It says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. The faithful Jews who have been saved or elected have been saved by grace, and rather than by their own works of merit. There are only two kinds of righteousness: absolute righteousness and declared righteousness. Absolute righteousness is righteousness like God has, or like Jesus has. It's righteousness earned by merit. Righteousness that is absolute, sinless. No man has ever sinned, even one time, has such righteousness. So anyone that has sinned, even one time, has no such righteousness. Salvation under law was offered only based on absolute, sinless perfection. Paul has said in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now declared righteousness is righteousness that is granted by God's decree. It is righteousness that is given on the basis of grace. God has offered such righteousness to any person, Jew or Gentile, who will submit to the conditions of faith in Jesus Christ. When a person obeys the gospel through faith in Jesus Christ, God graciously declares that person to be righteous. Can we say that in any way this person has earned or merited such a decree? Of course not. Again, Robertson L. Whiteside, he says concerning this, no amount of works can blot out sins already committed. Forgiveness is a matter of grace. No matter how many conditions one must fulfill in order to be forgiven. If a man's works has already been perfect, he would have no sins to be forgiven. He would stand justified on his own merit. There is no grace when a man merits justification. Works by which a man merits justification and commands which one must obey to be saved are two distinct matters. The Bible tells us about the only way for a sinner to be saved is by grace through faith. No person can ever be justified by a system of law. Not natural law, or moral law, or the law of Moses. Law cannot take sinners and make them non-lawbreakers. Law can do only three things. Number one, point out what is right and wrong. Number two, point out who has done wrong. And number three, legislate a penalty for the lawbreaker. It cannot justify a sinner. These two systems of justification, law and grace, are equally exclusive. One must choose to pursue God's righteousness that comes by grace through faith, or he must pursue personal righteousness by sinless perfection and works of merit of his own salvation. If he chooses personal righteousness, he must rely on himself alone. If he chooses God's righteousness, he must trust in and he must obey Jesus. It is impossible to be justified under both systems. Trying to get to heaven by being good enough nullifies the way of grace. Romans 11 and verse 7. There it says, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. In this verse, I want you to notice the difference between Israel and the elect. They both were Jews. The elect refers to the remnant mentioned in verse 5. That is, those Jews since the day of Pentecost who have chosen of their own free will to obey the gospel. Israel, by contrast, refers to the nation in general. That is, the majority of the Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah and rejected the gospel as God's power to save. In this verse, the Apostle Paul speaks of the nation in general as the sum of all those in Israel who were unbelieving Jews. In other words, they were the others, or they were the rest, in contrast to the remnant. What was it that the majority of Israel were seeking but could not find? If we turn to Romans 9, verse 30 through verse 32, there it says, what shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. So it was righteousness that they were seeking for that they did not find. They sought righteousness based on their own merit, derived from their own personal works. They didn't seek it based on faith, and consequently, they did not find it. But the elect, those Jews who submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, did obtain righteousness because they sought it by faith in Jesus and by the works that faith produces as opposed to the works of merit. Romans 11 and verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. In verse 8, Paul draws from the two passages in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4, there it says that the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, to this very day. Also in Isaiah 29 and verse 10, it says, for the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. It is clear from these verses that God is the one that is responsible for Israel's blindness and hardening state. Just as with Pharaoh in Romans 9, verse 17 and 18. It says, for the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose have I raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. God actively hardened Israel only after her own self-hardening had set in. He did this by giving those who had rejected Jesus a spirit of slumber. This word slumber means deep sleep, stupor, or dullness. It's a state of not being able to think satisfactorily because of complete bewilderment and stupor. So my purpose in considering these verses, 1 through verse 8, is to distinguish the difference between the nation of Israel as a whole and the remnant in Paul's day. Israel The nation were those Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah and rejected the gospel as God's power to save. On the other hand, the remnant were those Jews since the day of Pentecost who had chosen of their own free will to obey the gospel. Now we have verses 9 and verse 10. And this is the prophecy that we see prophesied in Psalm 69, verse 22 and verse 23. And there it says again, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their backs always. So in quoting Psalm 69, verse 22 and verse 23, Paul prays for three curses to follow these enemies of the cross. Number one, he says, let their table become a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block. Brother Alan Bonifay, in his commentary on Romans, says that their table probably stands for the Old Testament in general, with its sacrifices on the altar and its eating of the sacrificial meal. Instead of allowing the law to lead them to Christ, as God intended, their devotion to the law became a trap, a snare, and a stumbling block to them. The second curse, Paul says, let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see. This curse is in accord with the stupor in verse 8 and the hardening in verse 7. Curse number 3, let their backs be bent forever. The purpose for Paul's citation of Psalm 69 is found in the last part of verse 9, and a recompense to them. Recompense means requital, recompense, retribution. The unbelieving Jews were being punished for their lack of spiritual insight by giving over to blind trust in their own law. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 through 16 says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In closing, God grants their wish. The blindness that came upon the Jews was their own fault. This hardening of unbelieving Israel is justice in its nature. So we have a very loving God, but He is also justice. They got what they deserved. If there is anyone that is subject to the gospel call this morning, has not taken those steps to obey the gospel, or if there's anyone that is in need of the prayers of the church, you can come as we stand and sing.